In the new building, we have the groups from Cholon, Be'er Sheva, Chadera, Haifa, Zichron, Emma Moshavot, and the young group, 61 people. I'm asking for this to be arranged differently. Groups that come here should mainly come and sit in the lesson, and only a part, or if those people that need to be there, if it's urgent or necessary, they should be sitting in the new building. And the people who are here, according to the order, they should be working in the new building. We have to change that order. So the groups from Cholon, Be'er Sheva, Chadera, Haifa, Zichron, Emma Moshavot, and a young group are with us. Yes.
Today, in the first hour and a half, the lesson is dedicated to the friends of our learning center that are with us, and most of the questions will go to for them.
Yes, we are now in the middle of a development all over the world, stages of development that are very serious. We've had a great congress, actually several congresses in Eastern Europe, in integral education, from the Far East, that also includes a part of China, Mongolia, Kazakhstan, all of those countries that are part of Asia, and up to Eastern Europe. Including Eastern Europe and all of Europe, these congresses were very successful. And also out of that, they started working in all kinds of different places, libraries, and through different businesses, working with large audiences, through all kinds of different clubs. Also of the elite and in the various workplaces. This is happening in Europe. And recently, we see the same actions in North America, also in South America, but mostly in North America. We're also preparing for the Congress that will take place next weekend, a North American as well as South American virtual congress, which is interesting, since everyone, all the students, they all come together, they all connect and participate in activities, lectures, workshops, etc., for 3 days. This is very unique. And apparently we'll have questions about that as well. Yes? So maybe out of the questions we'll come to understand what is happening.
Well, a lot of questions are from friends that study in, well, they're in all kinds of different levels in the education center, some that are alumni already. So one friend that has finished the education center is now in the virtual group Yeshar Kel. He's asking this. I have now been accepted to the virtual group Yeshar Kel, and I can feel the love and the books, but it's hard for me. I feel separated from the group. What can I do in order to feel the group?
The virtual group or a physical group?
Right now, the only group he has is a virtual group. It's Yeshar Kel, the virtual group.
We, even now, are still scrutinizing to what extent the physical contact, when we operate in a single area for a single goal, matches and brings about an inner connection. Of course, we're built in such a way that if I feel the friend next to me, then I'm much more inspired by him than whatever I might hear on the TV or the radio or through the internet or text messages or all of those other lines of communication where he's somewhere out there and I have to make an effort in order to connect to him emotionally. I need to activate my emotions because my senses only operate in a short range. And if we as if draw those lines to one another, we don't draw these lines through the same senses, hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, where I can be impressed as if he's right next to me. And that's a problem. We know that here there's already some sort of a screen that is hiding, even though I see him on some big screen before me, like in a cinema. It's not the same form, it's not the same form of impression, because he's not next to me, he doesn't affect me in the same way as when he's right next to me. And it's hard to work against that. But I think that it actually helps us. It helps us because, and we see also in many professions that people who work, and we also learn that people who work with some materials, with certain motions, they receive a special feeling for that. They develop a special feel for it. And people who are involved in virtual networks of communication, long-range connections, from being far away from one another, they start feeling the people that they're in touch with more and more. And I think that this whole virtual connection that is now developing so much, it is developing in order for us to be able to take a step forward from the physical connection in a short distance, a few dozen feet from one another, being in that distance, up to the great physical distances where nonetheless we will be in some sort of connection, from the physical connection to the virtual connection to some sort of an emotional connection, and until we reach the spiritual connection. So it's as an example that we need to develop additional senses, meaning additional sensitivity. And therefore I think that here it is only a problem of the habit, a habit that can become second nature, that by certain actions a person can get additional sensitivity where he can actually feel the other, even though they are tens of thousands of kilometers away and they're only connected through the picture and the voice, the sound. It seems to me that nonetheless it is possible. I don't see any other possibility to bring about connection between people other than from the physical form of small groups to those virtual forms of people connecting to one another. And along with that, this virtual form will actually help us. It will support us in reaching the spiritual form. Therefore, it seems to me that we need to make an effort to develop the spiritual connection, but along with that, to try and attach to it the right guidance of how to develop through that senses that will bring us closer to the spiritual unity, which is the ultimate goal, not for us to be together in one place. As one man in one heart is not about a place. A place is a desire. Yes.
About dissemination, there is a question here. The students of Yashar Kel are getting a lot of, putting a lot of attention on dissemination of the integral education.
Yes.
And there is a question here: can I go somewhere to disseminate, but I have no choice, and I'm alone physically? So should I still go, even though I'm alone physically, and only hold my intentions with the friends before, or only disseminate in couples and more?
I can't say. It depends with what kind of audiences he intends to do it. It depends on how much he's ready for it. Let's say in Russia, they found a good venue that accepts them warmly, and that's libraries. Libraries is something that is very developed in Russia. We were there once in some library in Moscow. Huge screens, halls for lectures right next to the library. You have the halls full of the books, you know, shelves upon shelves. And next to that, you have other places where you can have all kinds of events. And it's all part of the library. And you have such things in every area, in every neighborhood in the city, you have such a thing. And it's all free. And they're open for all kinds of such cultural and educational activities, different types of studies, etc. So, if he has such an opportunity, then even one person can operate there. I wouldn't limit it that it has to be two or three. If he is strong enough, that he has the confidence and the right preparation, he should check whether his materials, the contents, and the order in which he's going to speak or work is good. It matches, it is approved by our management or you know, Yashar Kel, etc. And if so, he can go ahead.
The question is more focused on holding the Kavanah during the activity. So if I have to go alone...
No, but he should be in contact, connect to other people who are in contact with him and also with management. And also while he's there, he can operate his computer so that people can hear him, see what he's doing, and can help him wherever necessary. So there shouldn't be any problem here. I think that's possible. I would do it.
Next week there's going to be a very special convention in the United States. A convention which is supposedly virtual, but many people are gathering in a lot of physical places.
Yes.
And the question that's asked here is how to use that Congress to get fuel for this whole matter of integral education in general, in the United States and in general.
I haven't yet received, even though I'm supposed to appear there many times, not there, but from here, from our studio, I'm supposed to speak just like in a normal Congress, be there and give lectures several times a day, questions and answers. I haven't yet received the agenda, I haven't received the topic, I haven't received anything, so I can't really answer here. Again, the question, maybe nonetheless...
How can we use the convention to give us more fuel for the integral education?
Oh, first of all, I think that, well, if I would know what level the Congress would be on, we could publicize it broadly and invite everybody who wants to participate. Maybe a part of the Congress is destined for newcomers who are just connecting to us now. I don't know. I'm not the organizer. I can't say. But certainly in each and every Congress, we need to leave room for people who just want to be there. They just want to see and ask questions, etc. And also in our Congress that will be in Israel in February, we're going to certainly leave some room, let's say Thursday evening, for people to come and join with us and see who we are and what we are and happily participate and also in the various activities, in some activity, in a workshop or something, some, let's say, a conversation, a workshop, and following that, possibly a meal, and dances, songs. So we intend to have such an open evening with a free entrance for our TV viewers, those who don't want to come for 3 days or can't. I think that they should also do that, even though it's virtual. Actually, a virtual congress is a congress by all means. I don't think that there are any limitations here. I spoke more than once with the friends, with my students that are far away, and they got so used to these communication lines that they truly feel everyone is very close to them, and they participate in the happiness, and they even jump. Even though he says, I'm by myself in the room, I simply make the same moves, the same motions. I can't not do it. It's as though I don't feel that it's as if. Yes.
The concept of this convention is going to be many, many physical groups in North and South America are having a congress in any means. Like in San Francisco, it's going to be like a physical congress with above 100 people. In New York, 150 people. And to those conventions, and also in South America, in Chile, there's over 100 people. And to that physical congress, they're inviting everybody around them. So in order for them to be able to set it up in time, so they want all the guests to already register now so they can prepare.
Oh, so you're talking about the fact that as part of some of these locations, they invite them physically.
Yeah, maybe some will also stay at home virtually if it's one or two somewhere and watch it. But
no, not just one or two. When we were in Bulgaria now, we discovered there tens of people. Suddenly a group emerges, 60 people that are working with us and have been doing it for years. And they didn't think about identifying themselves. It's good for them. They just study. They watch the lessons. They're, you know, participating. They're in business. They know everything that's happening, and they just want to stay that way until there was this drive, this impulse to come and join. And also, if we were not specifically in Bulgaria, but in another place nearby, maybe they wouldn't show up, on the one hand. And on the other hand, they are truly with us in everything. It's hard to understand how this happens. Nonetheless, apparently there are either these blocks or... That's how Providence works from above. It arranges people in a way that, for the time being, they need to join in such a way without... revealing themselves. It's interesting. I'm sure that there are many such people in North America.
So everybody's invited, actually.
Oh, of course, certainly. Well, they're aware of it. Yes, Chaim?
And it's an opportunity to say that the convention is really in North and South America and the whole continent of America. Everywhere we have groups, people are invited to come there.
In fact, I think it's much broader. I don't know, it seems to me that if it's through the internet, then it doesn't seem to me that it's only North and South America. There's nothing that is specifically for this continent only. I'm certain that all of our friends from Australia, New Zealand, and also from China, Japan, all of these countries would also come along. So that's just called an American Virtual Congress
in the north and south parts of the globe. Well, the question is this. The friends are disseminating the integral education really intensively, and they're doing it very successfully. And after a few encounters, they have a very strong impression, and they want to know, where does this great thing come from? What should we tell them?
Following the workshops, I guess, or what?
After workshops, meetings, explanations, what should we tell them?
So there is the normal impression. When people connect for a single goal, a single process, and then they warm each other up, it's just like any place with everything. It could be a good cause or a bad cause, it doesn't matter. Rather, the connection always brings about an intensification of the feeling and enthusiasm. But if we're speaking about phenomena that are above that, they already come from the light. That their connection, if the connection is at least a little bit above the ego, if they had to at least to some extent nullify their ego and were able to overcome in order to unite and to be as one when in one heart in a way that is against the ego, in taking consideration of the mutual bestowal, not coming together, uniting against somebody, like it might be in a gang, but rather uniting above each and everyone's desire with self-nullification, where I subjugate myself towards everyone as it should be according to the rules of the group. When I elevate the goal, which is love for the others and bestowal above everything, and I start working in such a way with everyone, then by that, all in all, by uniting above the ego and wanting through this connection to resemble the Creator by us being as one, a single force, a single desire, a single mind that wants to bestow to Him. And by that, according to the equivalence of form, they begin to feel that they're coming closer. But this coming closer, as Bala Sulam writes also, it sometimes comes and goes. And in that, we still don't get the opportunity, the ability to control this revelation. And thus, nonetheless, out of these actions, we come to the state where we would be able to discover it tangibly. Yes?
In the last few months, we were more busy in disseminating in Israel. Is now, does the priorities change to prefer dissemination in the United States and Europe? And if so, what are our goals in disseminating there?
We are now establishing a department for the dissemination of integral education worldwide. And from that, we will start arranging these things in a more clear manner. We were operating in all kinds of places in a really disorganized manner. And this is correct and it's good in order to not insert everyone into some rigid frameworks and processes and steps and limit them. But now, when we see that there is a very nice development in North America and in Eastern Europe, and also it's starting in Europe, then and also in Israel, then we should arrange it a bit more, organize it, see how we can work here in collaboration, integration with one another, because through this integration we can go up a level. And certainly we want to maintain that this integration won't stop us from developing, each one of us developing in a way that is typical to his area, his continent. So I think we should now establish this department, and from that it will become more clear to us how else we can advance. Of course, it's following the same stages by which we advanced so far, and mainly we need to start cataloging and arranging our materials, translate it into different languages so that everybody will have access to all the materials we have, and thus we'll have a greater selection of activities, of lectures, etc. First of all, regarding the questions, friends are asking about the questions that are being asked and the questions that are not being asked, because we have more questions than it is possible to ask during the lesson. So just so you know, that the priority is usually to questions that generally contribute to everyone. Questions that have a more specific or personal nature, we prefer to give them a lower priority, so that everybody can gain from the collective questions.
What else is there?
Yes, we have the following question. If somebody goes out to disseminate and he passes the materials and everything works well, generally, but he doesn't feel that he's identifying with the deficiencies of the people towards whom he's disseminating, how can he absorb the deficiencies?
No, that's not good. It's not good. They'll feel it. I mean, all in all, every person who wants to come into a connection with the others, so that he has to know what they're lacking. If I'm going to disseminate the integral education, what am I bringing it to them for? To make their life easier. They want to feel good, right? From all kinds of form of the crisis that's going on, everybody, especially in, let's say, North America. So, first of all, we also come to all those demographic layers that are starting to feel that there's this tsunami that's getting close. And if so, he has to know which audience he's turning to. It could be certain people in the audience, and according to that, he has to prepare himself. The questions, the way he comes out to them, the can be that he's not part of it. If I go to some place in Israel, to some neighborhood, some city, some area, they're very different from each other. Go to the north of Israel and south of Israel, or Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. How can you compare them? It's as if you're not even speaking the same language. You see people that are very different from each other. So first of all, if we approach humans, we have to know what their deficiencies, what their desires, their passions, what is their vessel, what vessel am I coming to? That's the first thing. And that's why when we disseminated lately, so first of all, let's say now we have some knowledge about the deficiencies of that certain public. And according to that, we can come and plan our actions, our activities, conversations, lectures, workshops, but in according to their deficiencies.
There's a question here regarding the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. The question comes from Illinois. The question is as follows. Most people that I come to have never heard of Kabbalah. So when I come to talk to them about it, they look at me as though I just fell from the moon or something. So what should I do with that?
To shut your mouth. What do I need to speak to them about things they don't want to hear about? It's a continuation of the previous question.
So not to disseminate Kabbalah or disseminate something else, or what to do about it?
No, don't do anything. If you have something to say and against their deficiency, say it. You're coming as a source of light, source of knowledge. If they have a desire for it, do it. If they don't, don't. Why should you just speak for nothing? I don't understand that approach. I'm coming here to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah. They'll really look at him like at a wall. How can that be? I never did anything like that. How's it work with us? You come, if you're interested, sit and listen. It's not interesting. You're free to get up and leave. Everything according to their desire. If I go and turn to somebody at all, even to one person, and not even talk about an audience, I can't come to them with something that they are not thirsty for. And first of all, if they have even a little desire, so first have to awaken that desire. Like before a meal, you have, I don't know, something, a drink or a little piece of appetizer, and only then you go into the meal. Learn from the regular things in life. No, now I'm going to force him, force the audience, and he doesn't want to listen, I'm going to make him listen.
So, in continuation to that, how can we transform ourselves and become a conduit, a pipe, so that we can take people's deficiencies to the Creator and bring them the light?
We're bringing them integral education. We're not bringing them the wisdom of Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah is for us, between us, whoever has a point in the heart. Whoever can connect above his ego. The general public doesn't need it. They receive the correction through us at once. They are treated differently. They receive from us. They have to unite between them. Listen. There's a circle which is the people, the public. The public. Or even call it the nations. Okay, you can see this? The nations of the world. And here inside, there's people that have a point in the heart. Israel. Yeshar Kel. That is to who in the United States? That Mykalag does that. That's a Kabbalah.
Yes, it's a Kabbalah group, but they disseminate...
Wait. It's a Kabbalah group. Don't confuse people. There, a group of Kabbalah, I'm filling it in yellow. Inside them, when they unite and connect, the unity between them here, in that unity they want to discover the Creator, right? This is that raspberry sphere. The connection, the group, the center of the intentions, the center of the hearts is one man and one heart, arvut, mutual guarantee. In this red circle, that's where they want to discover the Creator. From doing that, by what can they unite? Because themselves, they are Galgalta Enayim. And these are the Achap. The Galgalta Enayim, as much as they want to connect between them, they can. They can in a way, it'll bring them to a vessel of receiving. They can't. We can study and sit here for another 20 years, nothing will happen. The moment we start connecting with the general public, we start feeling the unity between us that has never been there before, right?
Yes.
Good. Why? Because we are treating them? No. Because we got their deficiencies. So we need to receive their deficiencies. And what kind of deficiencies can they have? The simple ones, deficiencies for uniting, a deficiency for unity. Deficiency for unity. Now, why a deficiency for unity? Why do they need it? Why do they have that deficiency? Who wants to connect? Who wants to unite? Nobody. But they want to unite so I'll have a better life. So I'll feel good. So I can feel good. That is what everybody wants. I'll put it in brackets here. That is their desire, simple, egoistic, nothing more. But through that I am integrated in his deficiency, I am obligated to give him back his fulfillment. That's how it works. That's how the state works. It's very interesting. If you were just, sell them something, if you were a salesman, you would forget about them the moment you step out of there. Because you're not a salesman, but you're connected, you're tied to the Galgalta Naim, to the Creator, to this whole process. You are integrated from their desire, and now it won't let you relax. You can't relax. And that deficiency presses on you. And once that deficiency, when it presses on your point in the heart, so that deficiency, you bring it straight to the center of the group. To the center of the group. To the Creator. This is exactly the upper one, and the upper one, and the lower one. What we study, when they are tied to each other, in this way, from below to above, and from above to below. So, why did I even start this? No, because there's a lot of things to say here.
The question was how a student can be a pipe.
So this is called a pipe, a passage. Raising from above to below and below to above. This yellow thing here. That is the pipe. That is the passage. This. Pipe.
In continuation to that, if a student hasn't found the center of the group yet, then should he go out and disseminate, or?
No. Do all these things. They all accumulate together. One supports the other and builds the other. But all in all, this is what we need. This is the whole Torah, the whole implementing, the thought of creation. This is everything. In the center of the group, Ares, is where we discover everything. And all the things that happen around us are just so we can attain. And that's how we have to advance. Everything towards revealing the Creator. That is the implementing of the wisdom of Kabbalah. And just so we don't confuse ourselves, this is the wisdom of Kabbalah. Wisdom of Kabbalah. And this here, between them, is the integral education. Okay. Yes. And
after we, that's another continuation question. After we become a pipe and we bring the light to people, how do we raise their deficiency to the Creator?
Yeah. But wait, I drew it. There, here, you see this here? This red dot. They, the lower ones, what do they want? To feel good, right? We've integrated with that, that they want to feel good. But we understand that for him to feel good in everything, bring all the problems and that the crisis brings today, all the presses, from the small ones to the big ones. Finance, economy, education, culture, security, ecology, look at what's happening with the climate. Bring all those problems. We understand that nothing can... And they also understand that there's no solution to anything. Today, everybody's in complete despair. But we understand that only the reforming light can fix it. So we take their deficiencies and raise them. The lower one here is screaming help, help from everything, because nothing has a solution. We see it in every country. We see it. The world has come to it, to its end, the end of the previous paradigm. And we raise their deficiencies, their corporeal ones, up to us, and turn them into deficiencies for the Creator. Who organizes everything for us? And then we, supposedly from him, from revealing him, we have to bring it down to them, his reaction, and they can feel it. They feel, from the fact that we take care of them, they feel some uplifting, some kind of unity, warmth, something they've never had before. And we feel it too. That's the mud that comes from above to below. Yes.
There are areas in which there are students and they are disseminating, but in pretty large areas, the population there is quite religious. So how can we disseminate in such areas?
I don't think that if we go out with the wisdom, with the integral education, and not confuse them with the wisdom of Kabbalah, I don't think there's any problem with any religion, because all the religions came from Abraham. That's how they're also called. And all the religions have the same slogan, love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know how much they really do it, but nobody rejects that slogan. That term is a slogan. And that's why I don't see any problem in disseminating unity between humans in any society. That's it. Keep going. So I don't know. Show me, give me a more sensible example. Where can they do it? We go to prisons, also in Israel and also in America, in great success, and in all kinds of audiences, except for the elites. They can't hear you there because they're still searching. They still want to be isolated from all the results from the crisis. That's it. So for them, it's to do, I don't know, some kind of chaos in the people and to be set there above on themselves. So we have nothing to turn to them to.
A question about the Congress next week. There's a barrier of language between the Russian CLI and the American or English-speaking CLI. How can we nonetheless be connected? And should the Russian CLI take part in the Congress or continue their local projects as usual?
I don't know, because myself, I still don't have the schedule of the convention. I've been asking for the last few days, send it to me, and nobody sent it yet. And it also shows about our English department here. They're not coming into me, they just want me to speak for 3 days in a row at the convention. But what do I speak about, and how do we build this? And even though it's virtual, we have to add a lot more actions to it. So this virtual form will give a feeling as if it isn't virtual, but really straight, close, intimate for each and every one, and we have to think about that. With such big audiences, I still don't see that department as it's like a secret department, you know? That's what I can say in front of everybody. So I have no... Most of these questions, truthfully, I'm giving an answer from myself. As much as they send from the United States... As much as they send me emails, I get some impression from it, but not enough. Yeah, not enough.
If there is a greater demand than the possibility to answer it, to provide it, let's say demands for lectures in all kinds of places, etc., how do we prioritize? What is the priority? Where to go to first? What kind of places? What kind of people? Or is that a local decision that every group should take? How do we prioritize these things?
You have to decide there. I don't know.
Or maybe there are specific types of populations that we want to go to.
Everything's according to the public's deficiency. You go out to the streets, you like ask the public first, and then you get there. How can you come and push whatever you feel like? You're not selling things that maybe they all have a deficiency for it. You also have to see what way you come out to them to. The fact that people just suffer isn't enough. You have to learn, like, in what way to show up, how to connect to them, how to explain that you are coming to save them from blow, from problems, from and so on. In the United States, you have such areas that are, you have like huge cities that are in problems. Like 20% are really in a despair, and it's a country that's really flipping over from their feet to their head. That's what I see. Even though, like, a big part of it is very stabilized and rich and in control and influence on the whole world, the wide lower economy levels are really in big problems, and they're cutting off a lot of budgets now. If before everybody who wanted more or less would receive some kind of, you know, those food stamps and free food and a place to sleep, maybe, now it's much harder. Yes.
In what stage can a student go out and disseminate? Should it be an advanced student? Because students are afraid to go out and disseminate. They feel that they're not advanced enough, they're not experienced enough in order to go out and disseminate. So what would you say to a student? At what point can he go out and start disseminating the wisdom?
I think it has to be like they did in Russia. Nobody can go out and disseminate unless he gets an approval. It's here like that too. He has to go through a course of the integral education. He has to go through exams. That we have to know how he does it. He has to have really like a file about dissemination, materials, all kinds of helping means, and he has to work with somebody who already disseminates. You have to go with people to be as a helper before he can go and disseminate on his own. Like in the university, or you have theory and practice and work in the lab, and then work in a factory, and so on, till you become independent. With responsible, can do it in a different way. Everybody does whatever they feel like. No, it has to be very, otherwise they can ruin to themselves, to others. And I'm warning you that a person who deals with it without any responsibility, without our approval, then we're responsible about him. Then he can cause damage to his soul. That really, it's not worth it to go and do it himself and run and disseminate. Yes.
Moshe from Los Angeles is asking the following. The upcoming Congress is very unique because it allows any student to come to the local center. There are more than 20 centers. How important is it for a virtual student to actually come to a physical place and be a part of the physical meeting in such a Congress?
It's very important. I'd say this. There's spirituality is a system of laws. The fact that we work here under concealment and it seems to us as if the whole world does whatever they feel like, that's our flaw. But not that it's really like that. The whole world works according to to rules that are whole and complete, and there's nothing you can do. Even what we have freedom of choice, supposedly, it's us, it's freedom of choice because we have concealment on us. They gave us concealment on purpose for us to be able to choose. But if there wasn't concealment, we'd see that there's nothing here. What kind of freedom of choice can you have here in a system that is all closed and complete? So what do I want to say? According to those laws, they can't allow themselves to be this way or that way. It's laws. If I'm in a certain distance that I can reach without all those calculations, but simply, I have the ability to drive, let's say, 200 kilometers, like 130 miles, to some kind of area where people gather and participate together in that same integral education. And what happens in the center there, or St. Louis, or Los Angeles, it doesn't matter, New York. In New York, there's a few places where they do it from.
He said there are more than 20 groups where people actually come together.
No, I'm saying people where this the convention will take place. I'm not even speaking about those places where it's big, but like above 150 people in every place and so on. But if I have a group like that, and I can, in that group, make those actions of workshops, actions like they're showing me from the center, so of course I have to go there. That's according to the law, law of nature. But if you have no choice, so that's okay. You're exempt. It's, if really I checked everything, I checked everywhere, and the closest place is, I don't know, 5-hour flight, let's say. So what can you do? But if it's, and I can't afford it, I can't do it. Actually, 5 hours, if I fly somewhere for 3 days, why not? If it's a convention, 150 people in New York that gather, I come there, it's like a physical convention. I have to do it. It's the more I can join everybody, it's better.
Are we done?
So, yeah, we're done. So if I'll have more, I'll let you know.
So any questions about this? Yes, please, microphone. But to this about this topic, yes.
Yeah, well, everything that's happening here, the scrutiny is great. And it doesn't matter if it's a convention in North and South America. It's something that has to do with everybody.
Yes.
And what I'm trying to scrutinize here is, it's like a request to try and see how I can turn everything that just happened here from listening to your answers to the friends to turn it into my own request, my own man, that something I can integrate in and not just listen here.
I recommend during these 3 days where we're planning to have the convention, and it's a shame that we haven't yet received the schedule, the agenda, and you know, the specific schedule with everything that's going to take place there. I would recommend that we participate, not only that I participate, that I have to sit here in the studio and from there to give them lectures and activities, beyond the fact that they're doing it from several locations in the U.S., that we should participate in that more actively. I'm in favor of that. Only I'm telling you that I still can't, have a good, convenient, correct connection with all the organizers. We only have a week left. But I'm hoping that nonetheless they will wake up. And finally, we'll establish the exact schedule of events in this Congress, and we can all join it. Why not?
I'm asking more than that. Now that we have these questions now, instead of being someone who can listen to the question, it's like a request to, I want to collect it into me and want to be that, I want this convention to be the most successful, that the materials will go through. How do I demand the light, the reforming light, to be part of this lesson right now, even? To,
well, we're all taking part. We all want it. We all want this to take place, because this is actually dissemination to the whole world, actually. It's not our morning lesson. This is dissemination in English, which is the language of the world, more or less. You have complete continents that speak in English, that for whom it is their mother tongue, or at least a second language that is quite understood by most people. So I think this is a very important convention.
I'll try and ask again. You drew the upper one, the upper one, the lower one. I want to be that same middle, the intermediate, that hears all the questions of the friends from the world Kli for the convention. And it's like I go disseminate now. How can I collect all of this and turn it into a prayer to the upper one, which is like coming to you now and asking for your advice? How can I make it, is not a verbal question, but something through my feeling? How does it really become a prayer? How does this, all these deficiencies collect to a prayer?
When you speak to the friends, and also by yourself, about the importance of these, the event that's going to take place, and how much it matches the state of the world, and how much it contributes to the state of the world, and the wisdom of Kabbalah, and in the end, all of this is in order to bring contentment to the Creator, and by that we come to adhesion with Him, as He does to us, so we do towards Him. This is the purpose of creation, dvikut, adhesion. So as you think about it, as you put all of these things together, you rise a little bit above your ego and your ordinary earthly calculations, above, towards the true purpose and plan of life, from which everything is being operated your entire life. So by that you receive a greater impression, a greater enthusiasm, inspiration, and in such a way you reach enthusiasm, and from that you then decide what to do. You pressure your group, you come to us,
we need to also set the plan of how we are going to participate in that, how we're going to watch throughout these days, and when their activities, maybe we can do those things along with them. They speak about translation, you know, how will they work together with the Russians? Most of them don't know English, or they don't know it quite well. How will they manage the translation from English to Russian? Because the Russians also want to activate themselves with them, even though the hours are quite the opposite, but they do want to be together, and it's very important. And we are also in the middle, according to the hours. We should also see how do we... how are you going to organize things? So, I'm telling you, I haven't, unfortunately, I'm still not part of this whole business. Let's hope that we can overcome this. In fact, as I said, it's typical to this department.
Thank you.
So, we have something to correct. Yes. No, microphone, please.
Hello, good morning. I want to ask, if I may, and how to do it. I have a few hundred friends in Brazil that I'm in connection with them in the Facebook, and I started this whole thing with them with Jewish culture. And then they asked what it is, so I said, Unity, Integral, Kabbalah. May I and how should I do it to disseminate to them? Let them know that there's a convention about in South America, and
no, this is also a congress for South America.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. But how do I let them know about it? How do I even technically do it?
How do you turn to them? I don't know. You said you have connections with them, as I heard.
So what do I tell them?
So we spoke about it before. So you get up. You see this lead over there? So,
good. So,
say a few words about this Congress.
All the friends in South America are working with the people in North America, and the Brazil group are part of it. So if you have any friends in Brazil or anywhere in North or South America that aren't connected to the group or to the systems of BB, and somebody works with them directly, so turn to the people that works with the Brazil group, and they can connect between them. And the people from Brazil are all flying to Sao Paulo in Brazil to meet for this convention, and it will be for 2 days, like the Rav asked. So it'll be Saturday and Sunday. There it's going to start a bit later because of the hours, and they're really putting efforts and meeting, and really people from all over Brazil are coming to meet, which there it's more difficult from the rest of the places, because there they really work virtually in a really great way, and they also disseminate.
Now, where are all these addresses listed?
You have a website. What on the, this is where all the groups are meeting.
Kabbalah.info/conventions. Okay, conventions.
And there, all the it says where all the places from North to South America where there are physical meetings, and a person can go in, and there's ways to connect with us.
Okay, so good luck. Thanks. Yes. And the microphone there.
Okay. Volevo chiedere una domanda rispetto al disegno che hai fatto prima dei cerchi.
I want to ask about the drawing you just did with the circles.
Yes.
You said that the outer circle are the nations of the world.
Sorry, you're right. 100% right. I shouldn't have done it here. The nations of the world are here. So inside, here, it's the nations of the world. Yes. Please.
Il nostro scopo è quello di unire le nazioni del mondo per unificarle all'eguaglianza della forma col nucleo centrale.
Our goal is to unite the nations of the world in order to unite them with our center.
That is correct. Otherwise, they won't be able to receive the fulfillment. It is only through us. Yes?
La mia domanda è quanto noi con le nostre azioni possiamo invertire il sistema di crisi, mancanza e noi che diamo un metodo? Cioè la crisi deve necessariamente aumentare o noi col nostro metodo possiamo interrompere questo sistema?
How can we turn our, the whole way of the crisis from, will it grow on its own or can we start taking actions to get closer to the people?
Of course, we're interested in coming closer to the Creator and not to let the upper light to affect us through the posterior and to push us through suffering. What's happening is, I am somewhere, let's say this is me. The upper light is working, it operates from all directions. It comes closer. If, say, once it was in this place here, and I would feel more or less in the middle, in the interim state. Now it has come closer. It was in state one towards me, now it is in state two. As a result of the upper light here, it's light. Or Bore, the Creator, it doesn't matter. The fact that he comes closer, it makes me feel worse. I feel bad as a result. The Creator is constantly coming closer. From the shattering and onwards, he begins to operate the light on me more and more. As much as I'm opposite the light, if I don't change, what does it mean if I don't change? Through the light, there are two actions for me. What two actions? On the one hand, the light evokes a greater ego in me, the desire, a deficiency. On the other hand, if I don't correct this ego, then I feel greater suffering. There is a deficiency and I have where to enjoy from. If I were to enjoy from and I have a deficiency, all the more so I want it. But if I have a greater desire and I don't have where to enjoy from, I don't have a set table before me, then I suffer. Therefore, the advancement, the light coming closer is good for me only on the condition that I'm prepared for it, I'm ready for it. Otherwise, it's what we call ota, it's night, it's the posterior of the light, you see. Now, the entire difference between the path of the Torah and the path of suffering is that on the path of suffering, where I don't correct myself, I'm not ready for the light to come closer, for the Creator coming closer, so I absorb suffering each and every moment more and more. If I prepare myself before the light comes closer, then I want to be in unity and in bestowal and in love for others. Then the light that comes closer is for my benefit, and then I feel that it draws me, that I am communicating with it, I'm in greater contact with it. That's the entire difference between the path of the Torah and the path of suffering. But our entire problem is that the Creator is coming closer to us. It's like, let's say, some spacecraft. There was not a meteorite. What do you call that? That mass in space that they were afraid was asteroid. They were afraid it was gonna hit the Earth. So it may be a year away from you, and it's flying tens of thousands of kilometers every second and falling in your direction. Already you're looking at it and they're, you know, looking in the telescopes and they see it coming, and then maybe you can even see it with your naked eye, and it already is entering and coming closer and closer and closer until it falls. That's how we feel the crisis. We have to understand that this is how it's working. It is the Creator coming closer. Besides, as a result of his proximity, There is a proximity where the light would just be coming closer. Later, out of its ordinary proximity coming closer, it undergoes stages. It's just coming closer. It comes a bit closer. It's constantly coming closer and closer. But as it comes closer, it undergoes certain steps, phases. It undergoes certain phases. On phase one, we suddenly change ourselves from, let's say, slavery to feudalism. On the second phase, as it comes closer, we transform ourselves, let's say, into capitalism or the group of the period of the Renaissance and etc., other periods. It's through the light that shines. Now we've entered a state where the light starts shining in its system. It doesn't just awaken us. It shows us that it is one. It's all coming from a single system, and then it binds us together. All of these individual egoists, it is binding us together. And we are now in a very serious crisis, which is global. Against its integrality, its unity, its wholeness, we are now in a qualitative crisis. Earlier, it wasn't so qualitative. Oh, we are egoists, and he's the opposite. So we felt some stress. Now this stress, this trouble, is multifaceted. I'm not even sure how to express it, because the system is shining on you. It's not just light, it's system. Therefore, we can't find our hands and legs in anything that we do. Simply everything is falling apart, falling from our hands. We don't have any motivation. There is despair. Families are falling apart. There's bankruptcy in different businesses, etc. So it is all because we are not ready for the light coming closer. It's truly like that asteroid that is falling in our direction. It's a problem. We need to quickly, as much as we can, to explain, to bring it to the public knowledge of humanity, as much as they can listen, but they'll hear it. In the end, even out of troubles, even though we would have liked to do it in a nice way. Yes. All right. No more questions? So we will move on to the Zohar. Yes? Please?
We will go to the next part of the lesson.